Dubai Eye
103.8. With a little bit of luck and a little black book, I'll have another for the sun goes down.
The Little Black Book, with trusted experts, free advice on everything from health to home, fitness and finance.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
It is all about finance this afternoon. We're joined by Jessica Cook, a private client advisor with AES International. She offers financial advice for experts in Dubai and the Middle East. She gained a law degree and worked for a large legal practice in London, specialising in criminal and family law, before going on to spend 7 years working for Financial Times. And she now offers independent pension, investment, banking and insurance advice to individuals based across the Middle East. So if you want some free financial advice right here, right now on Dubai Eye 103.8, you can join the conversation 4001. You can message us on the Dubai Eye app, give us a call 04871 5500, or DM us on all social media at Dubai Eye 103.8 FM. Welcome, Jessica. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you for having me back.
So do you set yourself any financial resolutions at the beginning of the year?
Do you know, I do. Obviously, being in the industry that I'm in, I'm quite good at saving. I tend to automate things. But I have this year made a New Year's resolution to do the 365-day money-saving challenge. I'm not sure if you've heard about it.
I have, and I'm obsessed with it. Social media has gone crazy for it. So let's break it down for anyone who hasn't heard about this.
Okay. So the old kid on the block was the 52-week challenge.
Which in theory, well, you explain and I'll tell you my problem with it.
Well, that's the thing. It's got many problems. So with the 52-week challenge, you're essentially saving a certain amount of money every week, but that amount of money gets bigger. So say on the first week of January, you start saving 10 dirhams a week, second week, 20 dirhams, all the way through to the last week of the year, where you'd be saving 520 dirhams that month.
Which is at Christmas time. When you got to buy presents.
Exactly.
Not realistic 52-week challenge.
Not realistic at all. And so everybody, you know, that used to be the challenge, but nobody was getting it right. It was failing. So the new kid on the block is the 365-day challenge. And this differs because rather than saving weekly, you're saving daily. And you start by saving on the first day of the week. So say you would save 10 dirhams on a Sunday, 20 dirhams on a Tuesday, through to the end of the week on Saturday, where you would save, say, 70 dirhams, and then the clock starts again.
Much more sensible.
Exactly. So I'm going to give that a go. I'm going to see.
So how much you... I'm going to ask you to do some fast maths now, Jessica. If you would follow that, how much do you think you look to save over the course of the year?
Yeah, so if you were to do... if you were to start with the 10 dirhams, so 10 through to 70, and then restart the clock, if you were to do that till the end of the year, you'd have about 14,500 dirhams by the end of the year.
Okay, there you go. I want to do a quick fire round with you. I want to ask some common questions,
okay.
Jessica Cook.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, let's go.
How much should we set aside for a rainy day and where should we keep it?
So 3 months' salary, that's what you should be looking to set aside. That's there in case of emergency, and you should really make sure that you're keeping that as cash. It needs to be easily accessible. If you're living in Dubai, I would still suggest keeping that money in an offshore bank account purely for safety reasons, but really as a minimum 3 months' salary. And that keeps you safe, you know, should something untoward happen, like you lose your job or something like that.
All right. What percentage of salary should be saved?
Again, that very much depends on where you are in life. So the younger you are, obviously you've got more time.
I was about to say,
save.
What about a mum of two who's 36 and works in radio?
And obviously, the older you are, if you haven't been saving that much, then you've got a lot less time, so you need to save more money. But on average, the typical person would need to save about 20% of their salary.
How big a pension pot do you need before you retire?
Oh, gosh, I love this question. And it varies.
Why do you? It fills me with absolute fear.
Again, it very much depends on the lifestyle that you want in retirement. And nobody has a crystal ball. You don't know how long you're going to live for either. So it's a bit of a sort of finger in the air question. But we did this last time we were on air. If you think about the salary that you're currently earning, and if you divide that number by 4%, that will kick back of quite a large number, but that is a gauge. If you want to live on the sort of income that you're commandeering now when you retire, if you do that sum, that will tell you how much you need in your pot.
Great. Blood just went cold. Thanks for that. Should we pay off a credit card or put money into a savings account?
very easy. Pay off the credit card.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Are app-based banks, there's one here locally called Liv, app-based banks worth investigating?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're the thing. They're the thing nowadays. There's some great apps. There's one called Monzo, which I really like because it gives budgeting tools as well. So a lot of the standard banks out here, they just give you the standard banking platform. So there's some great apps out there. There's also another app that I really like called Revolut. And that also acts as a currency exchange card. So you can use the card in, I think it's over 150 countries worldwide. But there's no FX charges. So if you're a business traveller or you travel a lot, you go on lots of holidays, it's a really good thing to have in your wallet.
And what's it called, Jessica?
Revolut.
Revolut. There you go. All right, lots of texts coming in for you. We'll start off with this one from Marion saying, we're leaving Dubai in April after 8 very happy years here. What's your advice for closing up bank accounts? Is it okay to leave one open with a few thousand dirhams in it? We'll be back at least once a year to see friends. Thank you.
Yeah, Marion, my advice would be to close the bank accounts down. When you leave Dubai, you never know, the bank might change the rules, they might add additional fees onto your bank account, and you might not know about it, which could get you potentially in trouble. So my advice would definitely be to shut the bank accounts down, and I'd also go into the bank and do it personally rather than email or phone call. Make sure that you go in and make sure that they're shut.
It's a tricky one in terms of the order of leaving things here, isn't it? Because you need to have your accounts open until the end so you can get all your, you know, all your deposits back. So it's kind of the thing you have to do right before you go to the airport,
absolutely.
Really.
Yeah, I mean, when people repatriate, you're quite right. There's so much that needs to be done. But the bank account needs to be left to the last minute, but often it can be the most complicated thing.
Mm-hmm. Hope that helps, Marion, and wishing you all the best. Ewan has got in touch on the app saying, please, please, please settle a disagreement with my wife and I. We both work. She earns around half of what I do. We have some joint savings offshore, but keep separate bank accounts here and split a lot of the family expenses, e.g. she pays a third of the rent and me the rest, or she'll pay for the school bus and I'll cover up car payments, etc. She thinks this is unusual and most couples just have one pot that they pay into. I feel our way is safer. What do you think?
Ewan, I'm going to have to agree with you. You're right on this one. The reason for all this is bank accounts, although the banking system in Dubai is very robust, their bank accounts are subject to Sharia law. So should something happen to either one of you, that bank account could potentially be frozen, leaving you unable to access the cash. So if it's a joint bank account, there could be issues there. Dubai is a little bit of an anomaly in that respect. So you're quite right. It is safer to have two separate bank accounts.
Ron got in touch saying, I have a large sum of savings from 5 years of working in Dubai. What is the best way to invest rather than leaving it as savings?
Good question. I would have to know a little bit more about your situation, because when it comes to investing, it very much depends on your specific set of circumstances and your objectives. We would need to know a little bit more about your attitude to risk. We would need to know a little bit more about your time frame. But as a rule of thumb, as long as you're invested in a well-diversified, low-cost portfolio, then you're heading in the right direction. And when I say a well-diversified portfolio, I mean the correct asset allocation, split of equities to bonds, making sure that you're keeping an eye on the costs, and without going to any too great a detail on individual investments, as long as it's well diversified, you should be heading in the right direction.
Okay, I hope that helps you, Ron. We were talking earlier, question about, well, settling a dispute between husband and wife over joint bank accounts. And your advice was, it's actually better to have a joint savings account, but for UAE-based banking, separate bank accounts is better. Vikram has got in touch saying, hello, why is it better to have two separate bank accounts as opposed to two joint accounts in separate banks? Is that safer? Also, what's your opinion on a will for non-Muslims who own property here? Muchas gracias.
Two very good questions. So if I take the question on the banking first, it actually makes no difference having two joint bank accounts within the same bank. The problem is that you want to be keeping the bank accounts separate. So one bank account per individual.
And in that individual's name.
Exactly. It's got nothing to do with keeping them separate within the bank. It's to do with keeping it under an individual's name.
Okay.
And in regards to the will question, absolutely, for non-Muslims, particularly if you own property out here in the Middle East, and also if you are keeping a large amount of cash in a bank account, it is definitely advisable to get a will set up and put in place.
And what's the best way to go about getting that done?
You can speak to a financial advisor. There are lots of lawyers out here, and there are also a number of specific will writers, particularly in the DIFC area, that can help you set one of those up.
Okay, hope that helps, Vikram. Jessica Cook is here from AES International answering your questions. You can send in a message on 4001. You can, of course, use the Dubai Eye app, and you can give us a call, 04 871 5500. And we have heard from Ian.
Hello, my name is Ian. Just inquiring about, for those of us who would like to look for other investments, I currently save quite well. I have property and small investment funds. What else is there in the market? How could you advise me?
Ooh, looking for something a bit different.
Hi, Ian. Yeah, another good question. I think that's quite similar to the other question that just came through. Again, it very much depends on your specific set of circumstances, and without going into the finer detail and seeing exactly what you do have, what your asset allocation split is, and knowing more about where you're trying to get to, it's difficult to pinpoint any particular investments for you. It does sound, however, that you are already quite diversified. You have a bit of property, you have cash, you have investments in other areas, but it's difficult for me to say without, you know, looking at your situation in a bit more detail exactly what those investments would be. So sorry, I can't be of more help online, Ian.
And a question here from Kamal saying, I'm on a bit of a mission this year and want to save for a house deposit. I earn 18,000 dirhams per month, pay 5,000 in rent and try to save 3,000, but I have 30,000 on my credit card. Should I stop saving until I've paid it off?
Yes, pay the credit card off, definitely. It always starts with building the right foundation. That's the most important thing. And so in building the right foundation, you have to start with a clean slate. And that means getting rid of any credit card debt. That's going to be costing you a lot more money than the interest that you'll be earning by saving the 3,000 dirhams. So get rid of it.
Okay, there you go, Kamal. Get that credit card paid off. And we know we're talking about some sensitive financial matters this afternoon, so don't feel like you need to put your name on any messages if you'd prefer not to. You can message us on 4001, of course. Use the app. And we've got one here that's requesting anonymity, which of course we understand. Asking, I owe around 75,000 dirhams on two credit cards and it's making me feel sick. I earn 14,000 dirhams. My husband earns 25,000 dirhams per month. Do you think we should get a loan to pay it off?
Debt, I'm, you know, it's such an awful thing, and I'm really sorry to hear that you're in this predicament. I think the thing to mention here is that you're doing the right thing, because the hardest thing with debt in the first place is acknowledging it. That's, you know, so many people ignore it and it gets worse and worse and worse. So you've done the right thing by acknowledging it. And should you get a loan, that is certainly an option. I think the thing to do is to go to your bank and see what options they have. Often you can get some sort of consolidation loan that will have a lower interest payments than your credit cards. But the thing to do is to try and get a plan in place. That will start to make you feel a bit better as well.
So I would say, even taking the step to reach out for help and making you feel like you're in control of the problem rather than controlling you.
Absolutely.
Psychologically makes a big, big difference.
Yes, definitely.
Jessica is a financial advisor to international clients with a special focus on expats in the Middle East. She's at AES International. So tell me, Jessica, and be honest here, do you ever have a meeting with somebody or a couple and you look over their finances and think, this is a shambles?
Do you want me to be honest?
Yeah, of course I do.
It happens quite often, actually.
Does it?
Yeah. And I think the thing is that a lot of the time, couples are sometimes in denial. And often it's very much just down to poor financial education. I mean, it was one of the reasons that I went into financial services in the first place, actually. I believe that we're just not taught simple things.
We're not taught in schools anyway.
Exactly.
And I don't think many parents really sit down and explain the ins and outs of family finance or running a home from a money point of view.
I think some parents obviously do it better than others. Some parents will make sure that their children know how to budget from a young age, so on and so forth.
Know the value of money.
The value of money, exactly. And then others are very different. And I think you can definitely see that, you know, on family timelines. But yes, to answer your question, I have seen some quite catastrophic situations.
I think the power of denial is strong.
Yes.
Also, it's an interesting point there about couples, because it's actually, it can be a very difficult thing to talk about as a couple. You've got to be on the same page. You've got to be able to use the same kind of languages and have the same level of understanding when it comes to money and really know what's coming in and going out. It's very easy to bury your head in the sand and say, oh, you know, well, my wife takes care of this, or, you know, oh, my husband does that, because it's yes. all well and good, but you're not empowering yourself. And, you know, if the worst happens, you could be, you know, up the proverbial yeah. creek.
No, absolutely. And it's funny because whatever couple situation, whatever meeting that I've been in, there's always one of the couple that takes the lead. Mm-hmm. Somebody that's keeping the books, that knows everything about the finances, be it the husband or the wife, there's always one, which is quite interesting.
A message here saying, I have an issue. I paid all my dues with the bank here and I asked to close my account several times, but it never closed. It also shows that my loan is still active in the Emirates Credit Bureau report. Please advise, how can I close my account by law and correct my data in the AECB? Thank you.
Yes, I've heard this comment before. You are not the only person who has tried to shut their bank account down and been unsuccessful in their quest. The thing that you're going to have to do is go down to the bank in person. It's no good phoning them up. It's no good emailing them. Physically go to the bank, make sure that you're meeting with the right person, fill out the right forms while you're present. And that should be enough, but certainly phoning up and trying to do it by email is not going to work.
Okay, get yourself down there. Naveed has messaged in saying, I'm saving 4,000 dirhams a month and have it in account here with minimal interest, but I do have easy access in case of emergencies. Do you have any better solutions or suggestions on where to put it?
Yes. Again, what I would say is, of the 4,000 dirhams a month that you're saving, I'm not sure how long you've been doing that for. So the first thing first is that you need to make sure that you have enough of an emergency fund in there. So what you don't want to be doing is siphoning off some of that 4,000 dirhams a month if you haven't got the requisite emergency fund. So first things first, make sure you've got that 3 months sat there. And then the second thing to do would be, going back to the comment that I made earlier, again, without looking at your specific situation, looking towards some sort of low cost index portfolio that's well diversified would be the thing to look at.
The Little Black Book, with the names and numbers you really need.
Hi, this is Usman here with you, and I'm calling from Sharjah. I just wanted to know that what is the best way for a couple to begin building a safety net, some contingency fund, and also a pool of investment, you know, for them to, you know, move ahead, a couple who have not yet built on their financial strategies. So what's the best way to go around that?
It's a good question for anyone looking to kind of start saving and start investing. Where do you start, Jessica?
Yeah, very good question. So again, I would go back to what I said before, and it's very much about building the right foundation. So that's starting with a clean slate, making sure that you have no debt, making sure that you're spending less than you earn, which is something that...
It sounds really simple, but many of us are scrabbling down the back of the sofa for a few dirhams at the end of the month.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm a big believer in paying yourself first and automating it. So you're going to need to sit down, the two of you. You can either do this with a financial advisor, or you can quite simply sit down, the two of you, and do it yourself. But sit down and do a detailed budget. So you really need to ascertain exactly what money's coming in, what money is going out, and therefore how much money can you afford to contribute to savings. And then once you've calculated that, it's very important to then move that amount of money into your fixed expenditure, so that every month, just like you pay your rent, just like you pay your school fees, you're paying yourself. That's your savings are coming out. And then if you have any money left over, you can spend that. We tend to do it the wrong way around. Mm-hmm. If we have any money left over, we might
some
save
of the pot
it.
I'll yeah, bung yeah. 50 dirhams into yeah. the savings. Okay, so good advice in terms of prioritizing that savings.
Yes, yeah. And then where to put that, again, it obviously depends on your situation. First and foremost, I would say one of the things that you probably want to do is to set up an offshore bank account, certainly from a safety point of view. But one of the rules that I have is, if you come from country A and you live in country B, you should bank in country C. And so it's quite all right to keep a little bit of working balance in your bank account in Sharjah, because obviously your salary gets paid into that. But from a safety point of view, I would look to keep your money in an offshore account.
Okay, hope that helps, and wishing you and your partner all the very best there. I had a question here from Willis saying, can a simple will be set up for free or low cost? I suspect this is quite a short answer.
Yeah, very short answer. The short answer is no and no. unfortunately, no, you can't set up a will for free. The costs vary, but you're probably looking at about between 15 and 20,000 dirhams for a valid UAE will.
But obviously, we're spending the money on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely worth spending the money on. Yeah.
Okay. Fairuz has got in touch. Let's have a listen.
Hi, this is Fairuz from Sharjah. I had a question. We have joint bank account with my husband here, Louis, and all of our money is also kept here. So my question is, in case anything happens to one of us and we don't have a will in place, what is the process? Do both of us have access? And second thing, where would you advise best to put all our savings? Thank you.
Again, good question. So I think we've covered off some of this already, but the simple answer to that question is Sharia law prevails in the UAE. So again, although it's a very robust banking system, if either one of you were to die and you have a joint bank account, the joint bank account is frozen. So that means either one of you won't have access to that money. So there are a couple of ways of avoiding that. One of them is obviously not to have joint bank accounts, and the other is to not keep the majority of your money in the UAE, but rather keep it offshore. So keep the working balance here and keep the remainder offshore.
So your day-to-day could be in an account here easily.
Yes.
But for the long-term savings, somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's finish with this question from Martin, because I'm desperate to know what you're going to say. He says, would love some advice. I've been left the equivalent of 150,000 dirhams by my wife's aunt. We own property in South Africa with a small mortgage, have a credit card with 12,000 dirhams here and a small pot of savings. Where best to put or spend this money? I was like, holiday.
Yeah,
Martin.
I can tell you where to spend it, definitely.
Yeah, send it over. We'll help you out there, Martin. But for that kind of money, what would the priorities be there? Go kind of moving forward in 2019, where's it best going to be spent or put?
Yeah, okay. So the first thing I would do is get rid of the 12,000 dirhams. There's no point having that sat on a credit card. You can easily afford to pay it off, and the interest on it will be astronomical. So get rid of the 12,000. The next question is, should you clear your small mortgage? And without knowing the interest rate that you're paying, it's difficult to say that. If you have a low interest rate, you might be better off actually not paying the mortgage off, because you might be better off investing it and getting a better rate of interest. But if the mortgage rate is high, again, I would use some of that 150,000 to get rid of that debt. That leaves you in a really good position. You have a property that's mortgage-free, unencumbered, and you've got no debt. What do you do with the remainder of that? Again, I know I sound like, you know, I keep going on about the same thing, but it's very much about creating a well-diversified portfolio. So, you know, I can't sit here and say this investment or that investment, but it's about not putting all of your eggs in one basket, keeping your costs as low as possible.
Jessica Cook from AES International, where can people find you and indeed get more information?
Yeah, so my website is www.financial-advice-dubai.com.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.